for the next few moments, let me take you into the Word, and let's just look at those precious words where this angel is saying to Mary, nothing's impossible with God. Sometimes in our experience, we come to a place with God that it's not necessarily that we don't think anything's impossible, it's just that we haven't seen some things that we thought would happen take place. And so it would appear as if there is some impossibility. I want to share with you for a few moments these words because they are so precious. In the 37th verse of the first chapter, for with God nothing shall be impossible, or let me retranslate that and let me update it into our more modern English and say to you, for no word from God shall be void of power. If we were to go to the original language, we would discover that this would be in keeping with the original language. No word from God shall be void of power. When God speaks, the said becomes so. The discussion here is, do we believe or do we not believe in the virgin birth? Do we believe that a woman who had never been with a man could bear a child? Now we like to play with the delicacies of the English language, and we prefer not to mention these sort of things sometimes, but I don't believe it's possible for us to get around what the Scripture says, and I don't believe it's possible to be more delicate than the Scripture is. So whether you go to the old version or the new version, if it's in true keeping with the original version, you're discovering this, that this was a young woman who had never been with a man, betrothed to be married, pure of body and heart, a woman that God was very pleased to be with and very pleased to overshadow and to cause a miracle to take place in her body. Recently, I was listening to the testimony of some people. One person said something like this, I had cancer, the doctors proved I had cancer, the x-rays showed I had cancer. And yet after prayer and after the laying on of hands, I went back to the doctor and there was no sign of cancer, there were no symptoms of cancer, and there was nothing on the x-ray, and the whole congregation in this large auditorium applauded and praised God. If we can believe that, we have to be able to believe that our God is the worker of the impossible. With man it is impossible, with God all things are possible. Listening to the same program, watching the same scenes, another person stood and told of a great malady that had come upon their body and how they had been reduced to a wasted body. And the person now looked in the picture of health, but to prove the point, the pictures were shown of the body that was once so awfully thin and almost discarded, it seemed, and so tragically ill. And here was the person standing on the platform saying, look what God did for me. And the whole congregation clapped and praised God, and they sang some songs, and they were excited that God had so wondrously worked. If we can believe that, what's the difficulty of believing that a young woman who had never been with a man could bear a child? I believe in what is called the Immaculate Conception. I believe in this virgin birth. And I think we need to state in the day in which we live that we do believe in the miracle of the birth of Jesus, and he is truly the Son of God. The skeptic, the cynic, has to make his statement. He has to say it's impossible. And we have to agree that with man it is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. It was God, says the psalmist, that knoweth our frame. He knoweth that we are dust. It is God who made originally Adam and from the rib of Adam made the woman. It is God that created man. It is God that caused the whole reproductive system as we understand it to come to pass. Now, it may be for some intellectual people and clever people oversimplistic to say God created. Yet we're left with this wondrous thought: God created. In the beginning, it was God. And it is still God that is on his throne. It is still God that sends an angel. It is still God that loves us. Today, you may be a person who needs to remember that it is God that is on his throne. It is God that moves the water of the pool of Siloam, and the first person into that pool is suddenly, miraculously, wondrously healed of the malady of their body. Jesus at Calvary moved the waters of the deep. He moved the waters of the depth of the heart of man. And the first person that will say, "Here, let me get down into these waters," you and I can be the first persons now. We need to be able to say, "I will plunge into the pool." And that person is washed. He is washed every bit. One of the lovely things about God is he doesn't just wash our feet. I think it's so wondrous to listen to Peter in his silliness and in his impetuosity when he says, "Lord, if you're going to wash my feet, and I need that to belong to you, don't just wash my feet, but give me a whole bath, give me a whole shower, wash me from my head to my toes." And Jesus laughs, it seems, smiles, and says, "Oh, Peter, you're such a funny fellow. I only need to wash your feet." Jesus only needs to enter your heart, and your whole life is cleansed. Jesus only needs to enter your soul, and your whole life is changed. You see, the last statement of the angel to Mary summarizes the entire action of God. With man, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Mary was just a young woman. We think in her mid to late teens. She was a young, beautiful woman. And yet, though of the lineage of David, she had to go to Bethlehem to be taxed, as all people had to. This very great act of surrender. Listen to her in verse 38. She hears this tremendous announcement, the annunciation of the angel, and she simply says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She lived in Nazareth. Nazareth was a town where several roads came together. The garrisons from Rome came into Nazareth. It was a large military center, and the garrisons of Rome that had been fighting or looking after the borders of various places of the colonies of Rome, they would come back through Nazareth on their way back to Rome. And so you had this great crossover, this enormous crossover of the military. It doesn't take too much imagination to discover in a military town there are usually loose morals, there is usually loose living, there is usually a lot of debauchery and drunkenness, there is usually a lot of playing and a lot of partying. There's all kinds of things that go on that have nothing to do with God. Everything to do with man. And Mary grew up in such a place. And Mary was met by an angel. And Mary was told, "Though you've never been with a man, yet you will be with child." And Mary didn't flinch. It's beautiful to watch this young woman. As you reread the story, it's so lovely to understand how her responses were. Listen to her. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. According to thy word. For no word from God shall be void of power. According to thy word. Notice she surrendered everything. Let me ask you, let me challenge you. What have you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me challenge your soul this day. What have you truly surrendered to our dear Lord Jesus? This woman said, I surrender all to thee. I surrender. Notice this woman. She surrendered everything from reputation to her body. She surrendered. Notice, will you? As the word is within us, we are called to surrender. You men who sing, you women in the choir, you're called to surrender that voice to God. You mechanics, you woodsmen, you cabinet makers, you craftsmen, you're called to surrender those gifts and abilities to God. You housewives, you office workers, you're called of God to surrender your abilities to God. For he can take the scruffiest of us and make us people that will bring honor to his name. This woman learned to surrender from her reputation to her body, everything to God. As the word is within, the word becomes powerful. What have you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you're one of these people that keeps on putting up arguments and barriers. Maybe you're one of these souls that continually has another discussion, having had several discussions already about what you will give to God. My dear friend, if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you really don't belong to you anyway. So why not bring what you are and surrender what you think you are, that God may make you what he wants you to be? At art school years ago, there was a dear old gentleman who was one of our teachers. And I remember getting into such a tizzy over having to draw with pencil this particular statue of Michelangelo, a great figure of an angel with no head, no legs, and no arms, but wings and torso. And I was getting in all sorts of a mess with it. And he eventually came round to where I was sitting, very depressed over my inability to recreate on paper what I could see in front of me. And he said, let me show you what you're not doing. He took my pencil, he took my drawing board, and with the same piece of paper, he just started to draw lines upon the same image I had already drawn, but with the thickness of the pencil, with the darkness of the stroke, with the liberation of the eraser, he suddenly caused this thing that was grotesque upon my paper to suddenly become lively and wondrous and right. This woman said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever it is that you want to do with me, now, Lord, do thou do it. And we as Christians today think somehow that there is some great thing in surrendering a piece here and a piece there and something else somewhere else about ourselves to God. But God says, come, you aren't your own. I purchased you at Calvary. I purchased you with the precious blood that I shed, I purchased you. Ye are not your own. Now surrender to the fact, surrender to the principle, surrender to the understanding, and allow God, allow the Spirit of God to come within you. Allow the Spirit of God to work out through you. Allow the power of God to rest upon you. Allow the Word of God to nurture you and to make you absolutely new. Look at this woman. She said, in effect, the word of God is powerful enough to do exactly what the angel is saying. The Spirit of God has said this: if you will trust Jesus, if you will follow Jesus, you will be changed in the twinkling of an eye into the glory of Jesus. When he comes, when he calls, you'll be snatched out of the way and to the presence of God. But before then, he says, I will keep you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will ever be with you. And until then, he says, let me be your strength. Let me be your shield. Let me be your abiding place. Let me, says God, become everything you need. But we ruffle our feathers, and unlike Mary, we say, we know you can do miracles, God. Look, you've done it over there. Look, you did it over somewhere else. But me? And the word seems to be that God calls us to surrender not only our possessions, not only our families, but ourselves. Man does not abdicate quickly nor easily from controlling his own life. We do not abdicate the throne and the running of our lives very quickly. Self-confidence built up deep within us has caused us to feel that we have the ability to organize and run our lives as we will. And we call holiness, holiness, when it agrees with us, instead of taking a step backwards and saying, Lord, did you do this thing? Can you imagine the implications? Just do it for a moment. Start imagining, please. The implications of what the angel was saying. There are implications here that are so shocking when it comes to the society in which this woman lived. A military town, a pregnant woman, unmarried. God in this? God in this? Oh, the beauty of it all is this. God not only in it, but God being tempted in all ways like as we are. God on earth, the Son of God in Christ our Savior, the blessed, dear, sweet, loving Lord Jesus Christ, knew what it was to experience poverty that you and I have never experienced. He knew what it was to be slandered in a way that we've never been slandered. He knew what it was to be abused as we've never been abused. And yet when the abuse and the slander and the bad reputation and so on comes our way, understand this, he was there. He was there. And so he can say to you, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll protect you. I'll look after you. I'll hold you. I won't leave you. I will keep you. This woman discovered that the word is very special. It comes to us in its inerrant bluntness, and yet with its tranquil beauty. God speaks. His said becomes so. It is the word of power, and it is the power of the word. When God speaks, his power is revealed. When his power is revealed, his word becomes fact. Then be strong in the Lord. Says the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, in the power of his might. Our abilities are in him, and in him only. He is the Word incarnate. In the beginning was this Word. This Word dwelt among us. In the beginning, this precious Word came and settled in our midst. And when we talk about Jesus, do not our hearts burn within us? Is there not a yearning within our souls? Is there not a joy within our hearts? Ladies and gentlemen, this woman quietly turned and said, "All right, angel, you've announced what God is going to do with and to me. Let it be so. That's fine. That's fine." And I wonder if today, where you are right now, just as you are right now, you would say something like this to our Lord. "You've asked me, you've told me, you've commanded me, you've called me, you created me, you allowed me to live, that your glory should be contained in my body and in the rest of my life. Oh Lord, what you want to do, do it now." Would you so dedicate your lives to Christ now? Would you so come as Mary did right now? And let this holy thing within you be born in such a holy way that your life would change. "Lord, what you want to do with me now, do it." Would you pray such a prayer with me? Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Father, mighty, wondrous Holy Ghost, we ask this very moment that you will deal with us as we need to be dealt with, bringing us to the place where we may bow and cry, "My Lord, my God." As Mary said of old, as she put at the disposal of your request and your command, her whole life ahead, her body, her mind, her soul, her relationship with other people. Lord, we also come and we place ourselves at your disposal. Do with us as thou wilt, and when and where. Lord, bless this congregation now. We dedicate ourselves to you, and we do it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.